were discussing this very, very relevant and nice issue. The woman finds a chesed less than a gris, less than the size that in the days of Chazal was associated with less than a bug. So what's the status of the chesed of the gris? He said that even though the reason for the original din doesn't apply anymore, nevertheless the din still applies. And that was based on the longness of Chazal. Sorry, for others, that the din of Ksamim Bein Lechum Bein Lekula applied in Parazeh based on the standards were in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The whole takana of Ksamim was based on issues of Taharos. So with Manazeh, we don't have to be more machman than they were in the olden days. So basically, we have the din of Ksamim as Manazeh, but yet we have the kulas built in Ksamim as Manazeh as well. Maybe the size is significant. So less than the size of a gris, not the size of a penny, is going to be a tohar. So Abu Bichain, there was a very lumbish question, which has many, many ramifications of the Maisa, as to what exactly the nature of this kula is. The Maisa, both was Malamikdash, and Malazeh, less than a gris is mutter. And we know that the original reason for this kula was based on the tliya of bugs. So the question becomes, what's the nature of it? Is this Rudinuchus tliyas? Is this fundamentally the same as the woman who came to Rabbi Akiva and said, oh, there's a chant that the blood came from my cup? When the woman who was dealing with, she was in the butcher store and there was blood splattering, she finds blood on her clothing, and she comes to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, well, it's okay, because there's a good chance that it came from somewhere else. Is that really what this din of Pachas Gris is? It's really Hilchos Tlias. It's subject to the rules of statistics. The odds are, it's probably, it's possibly, it's something that it came from somewhere else. What's Pshat? No. Once there is a Tlias of Pachas Gris, once there's a chance that it came from above, and it's such a common flea, it's such a thing that you have to be made on. So when Chazal instituted Ksavim, they instituted with a Shia. The Shia of a Kedayas, the Shia of a Reviyas, the Shia of Ten Tfachim, the Shia of 4 hours. There's a Shia of a Kesem. The whole Kesem is on the Rabbanan anyway, but Torah, this is not a problem because it is the Hadashah, it's the Sofim, etc. Minat Torah, this is not a problem, it's only a problem with the Rabbanan. So when the Chacham instituted Ksavim, they instituted a shear bedavar, and the shear is pachas begris, it's not called the kesem altogether. So it sounds like a very academic, very lovely shayla. The shot that less than a gris is a kesem, it's just a kesem that we're told on the hakalon, but it's pachas begris, mufka from a shim kesem, not a shim kesem altogether. So love the shashah, luchas lida, what's the nature of this patua, what's the nature of this hefter? Again, the hefter exists as well as that, no matter how you slice it, but is the din rooted fundamentally in tlias, or is the din rooted fundamentally in that chapel de kesem altogether? Shachara, a potential of the Mibla Dina would be an issue that's raised on, it's on the second page, so if everyone has the right page in the Mamre Kamos, so it's on page 2. Eventually, at some point, if someone has the time, we'll actually put together a bunch of more booklets. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I could see us doing page by page, and then by the end, realizing that we had a whole booklet. So one of these days we'll do it. So it's on page 2, by Malcolm number 3. It's a quote from the Yad Avram. The Yad Avram was a parish in the son of Shulchan Aruch. The Yad Avram, by Malcolm number 3, it's a quote by Gimel, who should tagish be yitzyasa? The safer grace you place yikasa. In Yosef Ivishit Sefer, a crazy place, it says, because of Kaban should know the law, Shabami Gufa. What if you have a situation where the woman knows for absolute certain that the blood came from her body? There's no suffix, there's no bug, there's not even a latest of suffix where the blood came from. Rakhbul Yagosha, but there is no Agosha. She didn't feel any sensation, whatever the definition of sensation is. What would that mean practically? What do you mean she know? How did she know for certain where it came from? She saw it coming out, and she was watching. So she went to the bathroom, and she's watching the blood come out of her body. Afilu tipas dam kechardol tmei mishum kesem. So says the Yad Avram, the neighbor of Yosef Ivishitz, even with the smallest size, tipas dam kechardol is the way Chazal described literally a mustard seed. It's a mashal. It's a tipas dam, the smallest drop of blood. It's considered to be a kesem. But the low Minchas Yaakov, unlike what it says in the Sefer Minchas Yaakov, one of the earlier Acharonim, who disagrees with this. The Chemash from the Tzad, he claims that it appears that way in the Shulchan Aruch. What exactly is the issue that the Yosef Ivishitz just raised? What's the bit? A woman is experiencing bleeding, but there's no Hagosha. So there's no Hagosha, that's the equivalent of saying, you don't have a derais on her hands. If we don't have a derais on the hands, then we start to think in terms of ksamim. So once we start to think in terms of, okay, ksamim, that's great, we like ksamim, we're okay, because we're only derabbanan, and if it's less than a gris, we're going to be all right. Well, wait a second. says if you're anxious, what do you mean less than a gris is going to be all right? Less than a gris is only okay because you can take an educated guess that it possibly came from a bug, either Bizman Azeh or Bizman Azeh, just to throw back to the older days. It means you have to always ask yourself the question, is there a possibility that this came from an external source? Is it possible that this came from above? So if Yosef Abishad says, you can ask that, yourself that question most of the time. But if you saw the blood coming out of your body, where's the bug exactly? So obviously it didn't come from a bug. Says if Yosef Abishad, if it didn't come from a bug, then there's no Tliya. If there's no Tliya, then there's no Heter, Pachas Megris. How is Yosef Abishad clearly learning Pachas Megris? Rooted in Hilchos Tliyas. It has to be a Tliya, it has to be, make sense, it has to be possible. And the Bar Plukta of Ibn Ezra Abishad is the Michas Yaakov. Michas Yaakov, don't stop room, says, it's less than a gris, but he has petty kashas. What's the Shaila? What's he being baked along? I mean, Ibn Ezra Abishad's tinus is really, really strong. You know for a fact that it came from my body. Says the Michas Yaakov, who cares that it came from my body? There's no Agosha, so it's not a Deraisa, but still it's Ksamim. If it's Hilchos Ksamim, it's less than a gris, then you're okay. Less than a gris is by definition okay, not just because of the chastlias. Maybe the reason why Chazal picked the shia of a gris was because they had their eyes on the bugs. But in terms of the formulation of the halacha, it's not a function of bugs and no bugs. It's a function of, is it less than a gris? If it's less than a gris, then it's not a shia kesem altogether. So what's the din? Well, my halacha, that's what the din. When we come to the shaila, she's sitting in the bathroom, whatever it is, and she's looking at that ear, and all of a sudden she sees a little blood, a drop of blood coming out of her. She didn't feel anything, no agosha, whatever agosha means, no sensation, but it happens to be less than a gris. What's the din? So according to Hefter Chronim, she's asura b'tirabanan, because it's a kesef without a possibility of a tliya. According to the other Hefter Chronim, no, she's mutaris. How do we pass it? So it's a machlokes in the Chronim. Chalukis on the YU campus, different Rebbeim, Yeshiva, different Psachim, on this very Shaila. Shaila comes up every once in a while. Different Rabbana, different service, that Pascha in the Shaila. I think maybe one could say, because I'm Shalom Hotham on this one, we tend to be making on some Shailas, since this again, it's not even nice, it's worse than the Rabbanan. So those who have a tradition to be making have a right to be making on the Shaila.
Who are the different Barplugs in YU?
Okay.
That depends on whether it's the regular time for her cycle.
Yeah, so the regular time for a cycle may be a whole other ballgame. That may be, maybe it's not kesef. If it's a regular time for a cycle, and she's not getting that, may be different. So even talking about, no, we know that it's not really a period. We know it's a mash in the middle. She just came out from 3 days ago. She's a regular cycle. All of a sudden, she's a little something. So there seems to be another Shiloh, which is a little bit less, depends who you ask in this one, maybe a little bit more or less common. That's the issue that's raised by Rav Kineger in the fourth of Rav Kineger. So Rav Kineger writes, on a Tolan Loimar, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that we have a right to assume that it's coming from a bug, and therefore it's okay, and that's okay. So quotes Rav Kineger, the Marish Shochar Tineya, Apochas Megris, Bali HaNefesh. So Kineger quotes the Bali HaNefesh. Who was the Bali HaNefesh? Bali HaNefesh was none other than the Ravid. Bali HaNefesh was the Ravid. The Ravid wrote a sefer on Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Mikvos, called Bali HaNefesh. I remember when I was years ago, when I was living in Hilchos Nida, in the Heights. So I had a sefer Bali HaNefesh was sitting at my table, and we had somebody who had come to us for a Shabbos meal from a different yeshiva. It was a yeshiva that was well known for its Liman HaMusar. And he picked up the sefer Bali HaNefesh, and he was so excited. He thought, "Wow, the book of the soul! You know, that's going to tell you." You know, it's a book and it's coming and going. So, like those who come through Chaim Volozh Mishur, and after Chaim Shur, so we understand that's the real Bali HaNefesh. You didn't learn Chas Nida Ba'Abkos, and Peru L'Shma. You know, you won't do any of it. Guarantee you won't do anything wrong. Anyway, but in the sefer Bali HaNefesh, he raised the following shaila: what would it din be if you have a kesem that's pachas megris, but happens to be black? Now, just a little bit of background. The Mishnah tells us in the end of the Sefer Bali HaNefesh, hopefully we'll spend a lot of time talking about this later, that color is a critical part of Hilchos Nida. Both men have never happened to Rabbanan. And the only time a woman can have to become a Nida is if what comes out of her is halachically blood. In order to be halachically blood, one of the conditions is it has to be a certain color. Torah has to be read. And the Gemara tells us that there are really actually two different parts to being read. Number one has to be read, the red family, that's for sure. But even if it's in the red family, not all reds are also. Certain shades of reds are permissible, and certain shades of reds are prohibited. So how do you know? Where does all this come from? So the Gemara says it's based on Psukim. Ki poli nucha dovel ha-mishput ben dam l'dam. So the Tashma Peh explains to us that ben dam l'dam means ben dam mutl l'dam osar. It means some damim are mutter and some damim are osar. How do you know which is which? So that's what the Mishnah records a tradition, that there are five maras of dam. There are five specific shades of blood that are problematic. Anything that's within those shades is also. Anything else, even those red, is hetagom. That's the din, that's what says the Mishnah. It's hetagom. The five maras dam, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the Mishnah spells out exactly what they are. You know, using different reference points. If you describe a color, you have to give another reference point. Instead of it has the red shade, like this. It looks like this. It's also not now. So at the end of the second parak of Masechet Nida, so the Gemara tells us that already in the days of the Amoraim, a lot of the Amoraim had trouble discerning between the different shades of red. It's very, very, a very, very fine line between what's called the Marat Torah and the Marat Tameh. So the Rosh writes on this Gemara, we have a tradition already from the days of the Gaonim, but just as the days of the Gemara, they already, many of the Amoraim couldn't do this. So as much as then, nobody had that expertise to be able to differentiate between different colors of red. That already, anytime a woman sees blood that's red, you see automatically that's also. However, even though we don't differentiate between reds, we do differentiate between red and other colors. So if a woman has yellow or brown, depending on what your standards of other colors are, so that we do paskin, even bisman hazeh. But once it's red, and it's that's a no-no, then nobody today is going to get up and say, it's red, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's red and it's fine. Not so simple anymore to differentiate within the reds. There is a famous story about, it was about the fisherman from the Eidah Haredes, I forgot already who it was, apparently known as a big makil about different nuances of red. Different standards of colors. And again, I don't know what this story actually happened, or the legend, whatever it is. It's a cute story anyway. So he was apparently, one of his shamash was driving him, and the shamash, by mistake, went through the red light. So a cop there still pulls him over, and he falls down the window. The cop says to the shamash, says, can't you see that light is red? So the way the legend goes is that the rav said, officer, he said, that's not red. That's not the story's true, I can't tell. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, he said, Nida, that out of the five maros dam, four of them are red and one of them is black. Black, where did black come from? We just said it has to be red. So he said, no, black is considered halakha to be red, or shalacha. It just lost all its oxygen over, right? Is that what happens? It's a darker color. No, okay, unless the people in the medical fields. Yes, anyone has anything to say about it? Okay.
Does halakha mean dry out?
I think it means the oxygen. Doesn't the blood turn darker? It's darker. So down on the motion lock. That's what the Gemara says. If it's black blood, so that's how likely we consider it to be blood. There's a big question about how black is black. Is it black? Is it dark brown? And that's ready. We'll go, when we talk about Mars Dom later on, we'll try to figure this out in Lamaisa. But comes to McVeigh and says, let's say a woman finds a kesem. It's black, but it's less than a gris. So is that mutter or not? So McVeigh says, no. You know why? Because he says, he thinks, and I knew this, that the blood of the makosa, the blood of the bugs, comes out as red, doesn't turn into black. How do you know that? I have no idea. So it says from Kivega, and it quotes from the Ravid, that if you want to be Tehillah and Dama Koyimah, you want to assume that it's coming from a bug, that's only true if it's red. But if it's black blood, it turns out it's more common than red blood. Because if it's red blood, you have the ability to be lenient, assuming that it possibly came from the makolas. When you're dealing with black blood, you don't have that cooler. What is the Ravid clearly holding? It's a tliya. The Ravid is holding that it has to be, you have to be able to be toila on the bug. And if you can't be toila on the bug, then you're up the creek. Could one argue with this Ravid? Yeah. If you hold like those Acharon before said, that even when there's no tliya on the bug, I saw the blood come out of me, and it's still mutter, as long as it's less than a gris. If you learn that less than a gris is a shear, not just a tliya, so the Acharon, one would be making on the case of the Ravid as well.
So we have a multiple Acharon versus the Ravid?
Not everyone had access to this Ravid. We don't find other Rishonim mentioned. This Ravid Shachnoch, this Ravid is not mentioned. It's quoted by Rekneger, the name of Ravid, but the steam is a Rishonim, it doesn't appear to me.
Did the other Rishonim have the Ravid?
Some Rishonim lived before the Ravid.
Right, it's the other one.
I mean, the ones who lived after the Ravid, yeah. The Rashba goes to the Ravid, not Rishonim. So So there is a shayla that comes up very, very much on the Maisa, which also has a throwback to this shayla, and that's basically the fifth of the Rambam covers. We need just a little bit of a background to this shayla. We have to jump ahead to the issue of Shimon HaKiyum. We have to a woman who's ready to label the Zanida, but she's trying to be the Taheres, so then she has to count Shimon HaKiyum. Because the basic theory of Shimon HaKiyum is that during the course of the 7 days, there's nothing else that causes a problem. If she has any halachic problem, either Dab Hargasha or Kesem HaTzaveg, that's going to be so, that's going to undo, it's going to unravel the 7 days. So what should the standards be? A woman's in the middle of Shimon HaKiyum, and also she finds a Kesem. Ora, if you would ask me, I would say, well, whatever the standards of the Tzav are, if this Kesem is mutter for whatever reason, so it's mutter during Shimon HaKiyum also, if it's also for whatever reason, it's also for Shimon HaKiyum. So the Pashta Dvarim is that the standards of how you look at Kesem during the week of Shimon HaKiyum are no different than any other time during the month. But the Ramon, the fifth of the Ramon, the bottom of page 2, quotes a tradition that is not the case. So Yesh Aimrim, that we have a tradition from a group of Rishonim, the Bishloshi Yom Mishanu Shal Yimei Asvira, for the first 3 days of the count of Shimon HaKiyum, in Matzah Kesem, she finds a stain, Ein Tol Nosol HaKiyum. So we're not going to rely on Tzlius during the first 3 days. Kamosha Tola Shaksamim, the same way that we are Tola Adiksamim. The Gimel Yomim Rishonim, Tzrikim Yostikim Lagamrei, that the first 3 days of Shimon HaKiyum have to be completely clean. Aval, Acharkach, after the parents, Aval Acharkach, Adina Kishak Kesem. But after the first 3 days, then everything is okay. It's based on the regular rules of Ksamim. And that's what our custom is. What in the world is it based on? So this does not appear in the Gemara itself. This is a chumra that some Rishonim had. If you take a look back at Ramah for a second in the parentheses, look at the names of the Rishonim who quote this chumra. The Mordechai, Megos Haimini, the Chumas Hadeshen, the Ogur, Yochas Chaim, and Rabbeinu Peretz. What do these five Rishonim have in common? They were all Ashkenazim. Every one of them were Ashkenazim. This is an Ashkenazi chumra. The Sfarim never heard of this. They heard of it, but they don't follow it. Sfarim never heard of such a thing. What is this based on? Like, this is almost an arbitrary chiluk. The first 3 days, the last 4 days. So the Rishonim explain what's based on. What are the clues of Tlias? See, a woman walks by a butcher store and there's blood splattering around. And she comes home and she realizes, God, I found some blood in that area. So is it mutter or is it us? She goes to the Rav. The Rav says, well, did you go to a butcher store? She says, yeah. Was the blood splattering? Yeah. Well, there's a chance that the blood came from there. Now, we don't know for certain where the blood came from, Rav HaKadosh. So we don't know for certain where the blood came from. But in order to be making on the Kesem, you only have to come up with a statistical good possibility. Good chance. A very realistic chance that it's coming from somewhere else. That's what a Tliya is based on. So come the Ashkenazim and Rishonim and say, Tliyas are only game of statistics. A woman finds blood in that area, and she knows that she went to a butcher store. So there's a chance. Is it 100% sure? No. Do you have to reach 100% sure? No. It's only the Rabbanan anyway. So come the Ashkenazim and Rishonim and say, imagine about a woman we can hide behind the butcher store and say, well, there's a good chance, pretty good chance, all the odds are that it came from the butcher store. That's when you have a woman who's not normally seen. That's when you have a woman who's what we call a mayana pasuach. Her body, literally, the floor of her body is not open. So a woman in the middle of a cycle, she went to the river last week, and now all of a sudden she finds a kesem. So we say, well, that's not called mayana pasuach, and therefore we can be making, well, it probably came from somewhere else. That's a good enough of what we call a taliyah. But during the first 3 days of Shimon HaKiyum, it's what we call Mayana Pasuach. She was just experiencing bleeding. She just finished a period today or two ago. So then the statistics now tilt in the other direction. Now when the woman finds a Kesem, we can't just close her eyes and say, oh, it probably came from the butcher store. It didn't probably come from the butcher store. It most probably came from her body because Mayana Pasuach. On day 6 of Shimon HaKiyum, she already stopped the bleeding already for a couple of days. It's unlikely that she's going to start over here, but we know. Very common, women during the first day or two, three of Shimon HaKiyum very often do find Samim, very often do have problems. Because we think she started Shimon HaKiyum, but maybe not yet.
What if she was only declared an Eidah though because she had a Kesem that was larger?
Oh, very good. Oh, so here is a Gaval Kakul. He would say, wait a second. This Chumrah only makes sense if she had a real period, she had a Pasuach. What if she became a Nida for a different reason? You have a Chavit, many Echorim, they call that. Rechel Amin. They say, that's not called Mayana Pasuach. Right. Very good. I said, we're going to see, we talk about this Chumrah way late. I can't even point to where it is in the book, because it's in part 2. It's in the next booklet. So hopefully we'll talk about Shimon HaKiyum when we come back. So this is the Ramah's Chumrah, the Yesh Omer in the Ramah, but the Chenog, which has become the standard practice in Ashkenazi communities. Not the Yosef. pages and pages about this chumrah, about when the chumrah does apply, when the chumrah doesn't apply. But Hadju is a Sfardi, and every time he quotes this chumrah, so he says, you should just know that everything I'm writing here is not for us. It's la'achenu ashkenazim. Even here, the way he would say it. La'achenu ashkenazim, u'anoheg b'chumrat ha'yotzim b'yad rabba. So they have to know that this chumrah doesn't apply. David's case doesn't apply. This case, look, l'didon ein shum nafkamina, not holchim b'shitat ha'maran ha'machaber. We never heard this, we don't follow this, but yeah, then I'll tell you another 10 pages, another 10 kulas. So it's a great encyclopedic work for everything you want to know about Ashkenazim, written by the Rishon LeZion. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So the Ramah quotes this this chumrah, but then the Ramah puts the brakes on this chumrah. Bottom line, the Dafka Kesem Sheyosu B'Gris V'Yoy, the Medvar Mamurim, that even the Ashkenazim are Machmir, not to rely on Pliyas, not to rely on kulas during the first 3 days. That's if it's more than a gris. But if it's less than a gris, you can rely on. It's the kina. The lice. He means the bedbugs. I'm not sure what that means. Says you can be taila on even during the first 3 days. What's the law of this in this Ramah? So you see this Ramah, you get very, very excited. It makes a lot of sense based on what we said. That if the din of Pachas Begris is a din of a Tliya, the Malacha doesn't make any sense. Because the minig, the Ashkenazi minig is not to be Tliya during the first 3 days because the Tliya statistics aren't so good. So the Chora, what's the difference whether you want to be Tliya on the butcher shop or you want to be Tliya on the bugs? We should say the same thing. We won't let you be Tliya on the first 3 days in the butcher store because it's unlikely, because it's more likely, more probable that it came from the woman. We should say the same thing during the first 3 days vis-a-vis less than a gris. We should say, you want to rely on the fact that it's coming from a bug. Well, you can't even come from a bug. It's coming from my body. All right, I should just finish a period yesterday. So if the din of Pachas Megris is based on a Tliya, so the Ramah is very, very difficult. So what's Pshat in the Ramah? What's the Pasha of the Ramah? It's not a Tliya. Pachas Megris is a freebie. It's a green light. It's not that it's really a Kesem, but we're looking for a Tliya, and then we get stuck, we can't find an appropriate Tliya during the first 3 days. Less than a gris, it's het, the gomer, it was never Asa. It was never Asa altogether. So this Ramah seems to be behind that theory that Pachas Megris is really not so bad. Pachas Megris is not just the Torah's Tliya, it's the Torah's Din, it's the Torah's Pachas Megashia. That would, of course, give a lot of credibility against Shita Saraivit before. That would give a lot of credibility to the Mekilim and the Shail of the woman who has blood that she saw coming out. Because once you think of the attitude of the wrist as a Shia, so then a lot of cool is going to emanate from that.
Is that the Jesus Chassam Sofer?
So the question is that really what the Chassam Sofer is saying? Or could one argue that what the Chassam Sofer is just saying is, we don't have to be more machmer than the old days. So whatever the standards were in the old days, it could be that Pachas Megris was a Tliya in the olden days, and even though technically it doesn't make sense because Ban Hazan, but ain't little Hachmer Yosef ever saying, because the whole Ksavim is only a Dosh and a Minyan. So it's not, it's convenient. It would be nice to fit the Ksavim into that, but I'm not sure that you have to say that.
According to that approach that you just said, couldn't we just say that, you know, our marketplaces have butchers nowadays? And then maybe the woman walked by our marketplaces.
Yeah, the problem is that our marketplaces are butchered. They don't have blood splattered all over the place.
Right,
last time you went to Grand Essex, the meat is inside packages.
So right. But we don't have bed bugs.
Right. So the bed bugs were still going to fall back at the Chassam Sofer.
You just explained it.
You want to tell me, but we have. No, I don't think so. The bed bugs was more of an across the board thing. I mean, they said that you can always rely on the bed bugs. Whereas the butcher stores, there was never a cooler that said you can rely on the butcher stores. The cooler was, if you walk past the butcher store, then you can rely on the butcher store.
Right, right.
But we don't walk past butcher stores. We don't walk past open butcher stores. It's like, it's like, it's not good for the bedbugs. The bedbugs will make it, even though I don't see any bugs. In the days of Chazal, even if you happen to have a clean bed, it's still water.
Right, so I'm saying if you go to the butcher store today.
If you go to a butcher store and somebody's splashing, and there's blood splashing around.
I'm saying if we're going to qualify it so much, we should qualify the bedbugs too.
No,
if you're going to have bedbugs.
No, so that the Chazal themselves split between the two. Chazal said, "Af b'shalah harga kina," that even if she didn't kill the makola, she could still rely on the kula because that's the way they were masakin. There were a lot of bugs around.
Yeah.
It's like Moshe Mother Vadoma. The Gemara says, if you live in a city that has pigs in it, pigs are walking around, then you can rely on all the, everything's not there. Why? Because the pigs splash around, there's blood, they make the place dirty. So that's the Gemara says. It tells you to point out, if you live in the Bronx, and you have to live in the place that's the Bronx Zoo, there have to be pigs in town, so that's no proof. You can't rely on that. So it has to be a little bit realistic. So our initial reaction is we see this Ramah and we are very, very happy because this Ramah is a good solid source of this idea that Bakhtu Grist is actually a din shear, it's not just a play of the Arma. The only problem is it's a nice fancy razzle-dazzle lumbus that we're sticking into the Ramah, but it's not really honest because you have to look at where the source of the Ramah comes from. It comes from the Tumas Hadeshen. So the Tumas Hadeshen says exactly what the Ramah says, but he actually explains why he said it, and unfortunately for us, he doesn't give the reason that we would have liked. Says the Tumasadeshan, you know why Pachas Megris is mutter even during the first 3 days? Because otherwise it's a gzeirish and hatzibichom mamabah. It's impossible otherwise. What is the same as Nida? Why is it that at least in the old days, why were they so lenient on Pachas Megris? Even assuming that's a tliya, it's not such a great tliya. I mean, after all, she doesn't know that she killed the blah, so it doesn't really meet the criteria of the tliyas. But the Mishnah tells us, the quote from Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you don't rely on Pachas Megris, Ein l'chayisha tar l'vayla. A woman will never be mutar to her husband. She ein l'chasadim san, she ein b'kamatipin. Every single sheet, every single mat, every single bed has kamatipin shaldam. In the olden days, that was common. There was blood, the bed bugs all over the place, there was blood all over the place. So comes the Mishnah in Masechet Nida and says that when Chazal instituted the kula of Pachas Megris, even if it makes the tliyas, it must have one or the other. But they had to be mekel. They were forced to be mekel. Ein lecha baske muteresa, ein lecha isha muteresa baila. The woman will never be muteresa otherwise. It's a gzeirish and tzibuchah lamidah. So comes the true possession and says, imagine if we can follow this chumrah of not relying on the tliyas above the grisha in the first 3 days. How should everything become muteresa? Chazal just told us the facts are every sheet has blood on it. So every time the woman's going to start counting, she's going to keep every time she's going to wake up in the morning, there's blood on the sheet, asura, start over again. The next morning, start over, she'll never get to the mikveh ever. So therefore, built into the system, they had to be mekel. Not that they wanted to be mekel, not that they had any razzles out of lungs to be mekel. The whole thing is the rabbanim anyway. When it comes to the rabbanim, they have certain kulas that are based on, we have no choice. What are we going to do? Because there is ain't tibuchal lamabah. That is not the lungs that we were looking for. We wanted a lumdus of Pachas Megris, there's a din, there's a shir, Pachas Megashir, not a kesem, not a dam, says it to the Deshim, it's dam, it should have been usher, but what are you going to do? We have lazy prayer, we have to make it. That's the reason why it's mutter, because we have to be make it. Okay. That's why we have to be make it. It's only true by the Rabbanans. You have to be a tanit, we're rishon, we have to be make it. Again, stop making the svar, we have to be make it. You can't say that by the Raisas, and you can't say that by, unless we have a real Bokor and Shas and Chadal to say such a statement. So, Chumas Hadeshen was a Rishon, and he says, yeah, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says we have to be Megal. So therefore, when Chazal instituted this Chumruk Summim, they had to build in this system, this very, very Shvach, watered down to Tliya, and they permitted it even during the first 3 days, which otherwise ended up a safe. So at the end of the day, we still don't have a Raya Brewer one way or the other. We have a Lom Deshashayla, this Bachat Begris, a tliya, and it goes with Hukas tliya, and it's Pachas Megris, a actual sheep. So there is another shah that comes up, a common shah that comes up, which seems to have roots in this also. That's on the next page, page 3, from up on number 6. Those who have really good eyesight to follow along inside, those who don't, we might see them. I'm not sure which group I'm in terms of. Ooh, read it, I'll try to read it best I can. Yeah. Thursday night, I was at a chasana. I was supposed to be in any kedusha. And the last minute, they had to switch around the kibbutz. Very few one there at a time, so I got flipped to end up reading Niksuba again. So whenever I'm called to read Niksuba, usually they tell me in advance, so I'll always bring in my reading glasses with me. So this time I was able to be in any kedusha, not only for reading glasses, but to read Niksuba I do. So they call me up for any Niksuba, to read Niksuba. And then I had to do that both, you know. It's very rabbinic, take a few glasses. I really couldn't see a thing with my regular glasses on. Okay, so I got my reading glasses on for this. The Badia Shulchan, 06 Badia Shulchan, is a classic sefer, a wonderful sefer that's written in Hilchos Nida by Rafael Kohn. Still, Hashem, Rechaz Yom Hashanim is a Chashim Chashim Posek in America today. So the sefer, Badia Shulchan, it's in the Kupta, he said, hey, he raised the following question. What if we're not sure whether it has a gris? What do you mean not sure it has a gris? We're going to never have been again. I got lost. This happens. Fairly common. She has a shayla. She puts it aside, and somehow got lost. Oh, niskabes, work out washed. Very common shayla. She puts it aside, and the cleaning girl, whatever, those there, saw it, threw it into the laundry, and now there's no kesef on it altogether. What do you do? Suffolk gris. She wasn't sure whether it was a gris, not a gris. She didn't measure properly. She's waiting for the rough to look at it, and got lost or got washed out. Kosmu, b'tshua shai, u'v'divr malkiel, u'v'mei nida, it's a group of acharedim, she'i tehoira, which is the terrace. We have a right to be maker. What's the svara? The suffix to Rabbanon Hakel. The whole din of Ksav is on a midi Rabbanon. So we can be maker. Only a suffix to Rabbanon, suffix to Rabbanon Kula. Kozman, that the Kesem still rush. You can't take the attitude, well, I don't have to show up to the rabbi because it's only a suffix. No, 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 no. That's a suffix of Epshel Levar. It's supposed to be Levar, a suffix. But it's not Epshel Levar anymore. You can't determine it. It's gone. Kesem's cleaned out or it's lost. The suffix to Rabbanon Kula. Ulofiri Adait, he says about the Shulchan, I'm not sure that this is true. Yesh Lahar Bazem. The hayu of a taras hakas seven pachas the gris, whom he didn't talia, since the din of pachas the gris is based on talios, shetolonos of makoles, that we rely on the fact that it possibly could be that it came from the bug, or at least in the old days it could have come from the bug. Kol hechash yesh suffik beefsharas atalia, the chaykavna lemma din talia kolikar. A suffik talia is a problem. Talia means that I know for a fact I walked past the blood, past the butcher shop, and now I'm just not sure where this blood came from. That's called a talia. But what if I don't even know that I went to the butcher shop? It's been a long day, I can't remember, did I go to the butcher shop or not? So the havlik ha'idu l'kaman tzibchabeis shem suffik lo'ayv over b'shuk shaltabachim eina tzibchabeis tzibchabeis. Says, no, then you can't be makel, because that's a suffik whether you have the opportunity to be tell in the first place. So says about the Shulchan, if Pachas B'Gris is based on Yochus Tliyas, so you have a, you can't say Sofet Rabbanon Kula, Tliya means that if you know for a fact you have a Tliya, then you can rely on the Tliya, which is itself a Sofet. But you can't turn around and say, well, I have a Sofet when I have a Tliya, so that's called Sofet Rabbanon Kula. That's very too far removed. So if you're going to tell me that the Din of Pachas B'Gris is rooted in Yochus Tliyas, you can't cheat and say, well, Sofet Rabbanon Kula, everything's great. You have to have a vade tliya that you could potentially be told on. So he's not sure. It's achir. What's the answer to this question? What will the other achirim write? All the achirim is stomach hell at the other tzad. It's not a tliya. Pachas B'Gris is a different din. Pachas B'Gris is not a tliya. Pachas B'Gris is a shia. So now I have a suffix. Do I have a din derabbanan? Do I have a kesem? No, it's not a gosha. So it's only a derabbanan. Do I have a kesem or not? So the answer is suffix derabbanan kula. We have a right to be makel. Then he says, you could also raise a question about this. Can we be makel bizman hazeh? The lo shchiach kabon makolas, because we don't have so many bugs. Yim came stoma hakesem ba mikufa isha, and it probably came from my body. So I don't want to argue outright with the body, but I'm not sure you understand this. We have already accepted this Chassam Sofer. If you don't accept this Chassam Sofer, that our standards today are the same as old, so then you can throw out the whole Din of Ksav. What are we wasting our time learning Ksav for? What are we wasting our time talking about Pachas B'Gris? There's no bug. No one has bugs today. It's not that Lo Shchiach Mestoma Kesem B'Gofi. We know exactly where it came. Who are we kidding? We know where the blood came from. So, L'chora, everything is based on whatever the Din was 2,000 years ago, the Din is today. So, you can't turn around in the shayla and say, no, we have to be machmir because we don't have bugs today. If you go that route, we don't have bugs today, then there's nothing to talk about ever. So I didn't really understand why Badashuk was bringing that up.
Why do you think he's taking that approach?
Why is he taking that?
Why do you think he's not taking that approach?
Ulai, and then he says, another reason, the Ba'inadim came locho shiabo yosem migris, re'ein derech ha'isha liros da'am apachos migigris. Says it's not normal for a woman to see blood, if it's real uterine blood, it's not normal that it's going to be less than a gris. It's not normal to me. Banish has been passing shots much longer than I have. It's not true. It's not normal. Every once in a while, women see that's a tiny spot. Sometimes there's brown in there, and other colors in there, yellow in there, brown, but the red part, the part that's a shiloh, it is true. It does happen once in a while.
Is he saying, respectively, that it's not even a weird hamatzah that you find?
I don't understand. But then he says, is that the same Chassam Sofer? No, but it's the same one. So I don't know. It's a tzorachiyun on this. the Masura that I have is to be making on these cases. I thought that the more compelling the logic is that when you have a suffix where the kesem was a grisana, so yesh bracha mahakel, we treat it just a regular plain old suffix to rabban nekula, and we're not bothered with this time is that it's less than, that it's a suffix tli, it's not really a tli a mikra din, and this matters that we have to do a machmer in there, we don't have to do a machmer. We have the same, remember the statistics, one of the old days when we make it was mazeh. So I think that's the din, the mikra din would write to mekel if you have a kesem that was actually lost. Again, this does happen. We try to make sure it doesn't happen, but it does happen.
If you had multiple, some that were also would you say that each one in of itself is Pachnigers never not shir and therefore not star?
Well, we're going to talk about Tzir, but that's going to be the next one. If you take a look at CD number 3, Toshba Kesavach Mitzstar, if you can aim Mitzstar for it. Come back next week.
I think we're passing like the Ramah for the first 3 days.
Yeah. Okay.